Okay, if I could first have you introduce yourself and the name of your magazine.
Yes, my name is Antonio de la Cova, and I am the editor of La Crónica magazine in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And with me is also Gloria Hill, and she is the publisher of La Crónica.
I guess we can start at the beginning. Well, in 1979, what were the first things that Castro did when the Sandinistas came to power?
Prior to the Sandinistas coming to power, the Cuban regime had united the different Sandinista groups and had told them that they had to coordinate their efforts in the overthrow of the Somoza regime. And after the Cuban government saw that how effective this had been, and that the U.S. government at the time did not stop the takeover of the Sandinistas, even though it had been mentioned in the press that Cuba had been supplying arms to the Sandinistas through Nicaragua, they felt that it was time to arm the Puerto Ricans terrorists who were fighting for the overthrow of the Puerto Rican government. And so in September 1979, not only Castro, but the officials of the America's Department of the Cuban Communist regime held a meeting with the top Puerto Rican terrorists, and they have been signaled out as, by private sources, as Juan Antonio Correger, who was a member of the Nationalist Party, and he was the president of the Socialist League. Another person attending the meeting was Filiberto Ojeda Rios, who has been linked to the Cuban Intelligence Service since 1961, and he had been a fugitive since 1971 after he was arrested for some bombings that went off in the island during a terrorist campaign, and for possession of explosives, possession of weapons. It's speculation as to other members who assisted to this meeting from various other Puerto Rican terrorist groups. Now, there were five groups represented there at the time, and they were the Ejército Popular Boricua, also known as the Macheteros, the OVRP, which is the Organización de Voluntarios para la Revolución Puertorriqueña. You had the FALN, which is the Fuerzas Armadas de Liberación Nacional. This is a group that is based mostly in New York and Chicago, and they have been active in terrorist campaigns since September 1974, one of their most notorious acts being the bombing of Francis Tavern in downtown Manhattan, where four secretaries were killed and about 50-some people wounded. Now, they believe that Ojeda was one of the persons who planted the bomb there from police sketches that were drawn. There's a very strong resemblance to the suspect at the time. So Castro united these different groups, and he told them, he said, look, if you want to continue to receive aid from Cuba, you have to make a coordinating committee. All five of these groups have to be represented in one coordinating committee, which is what was done at the time. We're talking about September 79. 1 month later, the coordinating committee for the first time set off a terrorist campaign bombing in San Juan, Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., New York City, and Chicago, where U.S. government buildings and installations were bombed, and a communique came out for the first time taking credit. All of these different groups, it showed they were working in coordination with each other.
To have that much terrorist activity within a month of forming a coalition, was there a lot of training given by Castro to help them be that organized that quickly?
Well, it was later found out from subsequent terrorist attacks that, for example, in October 1983, the Macheteros fired an M-72 rocket at the federal building in San Juan, where the offices of the FBI were located, and the shot missed the FBI offices by about 10 feet. It hit a column, which the pockmarked hole is still there today. In January 85, the same group fired another M-72 rocket launcher at the federal building in Old San Juan. They fired at the third floor level of the U.S. Marshal's office, again missing the shot by about 2 feet. They hit the wall. And this is sophisticated Army weaponry that was left behind in Vietnam at the end of the war. Through these serial numbers that were found, it was proved where these weapons had come from. Now, the speculation is that they made their way from Vietnam to Cuba, and that Cuba had smuggled these weapons in to the Puerto Rican terrorists. A third M-72 with a matching serial number was found at one of their hideouts after this group was arrested in last August 30th of 1985. Now, the training of these groups, you can't, this is something you just don't train in your backyard with sophisticated military equipment. So these terrorist groups have been training from the information that has come to us in Nicaragua. And the reason for this is that Cuba wants to maintain a buffer between the Puerto Rican terrorism and the Cuban government. One aspect, and another aspect is they want the Sandinista regime to start taking their first steps in promoting this international terrorism. So you have Puerto Rican groups that are traveling to Nicaragua under the guise of helping the Nicaraguans pick coffee beans or which is what the Roberto Clemente Brigade does. The president of that brigade is an attorney named Jose Enrique Colon Santana, who is also suspected of being a member of the Macheteros. The other group is called the Ramon Emeterio Betances Brigade, and they travel to Nicaragua under the auspices of helping as doctors, etc. These are professionals that also travel to Nicaragua. But both of these groups have been identified as front groups for terrorists in Puerto Rico. So it is in Nicaragua where they are training, where they're receiving the training with this sophisticated weaponry as of, I would say, from 79 onwards. Prior to that, all throughout the 60s and early 70s, they were, of course, being trained in Cuba, as was the head of the Macheteros, Filiberto Ojeda Rios, who has been linked with the Cuban intelligence service, the Dirección General de Inteligencia, since 1961.
A little earlier, you mentioned five groups in the coalition, and I think maybe you only mentioned three. Did you give all five names of the groups, just for clarification?
Well, the three that I mentioned are the ones that have been the most active. The other two, I think they came out, did only one bombing and then didn't really come out that much again in the news. The ones that have been very active were, as I said, the Macheteros, the FALN, and the OVRP. The FALN, the last bombing they did was in December 1981 where they bombed the police headquarters in the federal building in New York City, and a policeman lost his leg. You have one of the Rosado brothers, who is a fugitive right now in that case. Another leader of that group, William Morales, is in prison now in Mexico. He was arrested in New York City in 1978 when a bomb that he was making blew up in his hands, blowing off both his hands and part of his face. And he was able to evade imprisonment by receiving aid from the May 19th Communist Movement, which is an American communist movement, which was headed by Kathy Boudin and other subversives. They helped him escape from Bellevue Hospital, where he was receiving treatment. And there is also a link between these American subversive groups, which are also being trained and armed by Cuba, and these Puerto Rican terrorist groups.
Could you explain the connection between the May 19th and Cuba? Who sought out whom and some of that?
Well, as you know, Kathy Boudin, in 1970, was a survivor of an explosion in Greenwich Village on West 10th Street, where a townhouse that she was staying at, they had a bomb factory in the basement, it blew up, and it killed five terrorists of the Weather Underground, and she and a friend were able to escape from there. She later on went to the Soviet Union and to Cuba, and then returned to the United States clandestinely, was arrested at the end of 1981 while being involved in a holdup of an armored car in Nyack, New York, where two policemen were killed, and she is now doing two life sentences. The other Puerto Rican groups, the help that they have been getting, not only from Cuba, but also from the American leftists, has been, you can see it now with the arrest of this group of the Macheteros, which was on August 30th, 1985. You immediately had known leftist attorneys, such as Leonard Boudin, which, by the way, is Kathleen's father. He came out and represented the Macheteros. Now, they're being tried in Hartford, Connecticut, for the robbery of $7.2 million that was stolen from Wells Fargo. They also have William Kunstler, who is the attorney of Filiberto Ojeda Rios, the head of the Macheteros, who has been linked with Cuban intelligence since 61. You have a Wineglass, Michael Avery, and about a dozen other leftist American attorneys and groups, such as the National Lawyers Guild, who are helping the Macheteros with their defense. They will be coming to trial probably about the middle of 1987.
What effect do you think this trial will have on the Macheteros? Will it stop them at all? I mean, has it slowed them down?
Well, it has. The arrest of the Macheteros in August 30th of 1985 virtually did away with the group, because since their arrest, the only remaining terrorist group in Puerto Rico, the OVRP, in November of 85, they attempted to assassinate Major Schneider, who was the army recruiting officer in Puerto Rico. They shot him twice, but failed to kill him. And as I said before, the other two shots that they took with the rocket launchers at the federal buildings in San Juan, they also missed. So our magazine, La Cronica, ran a headline calling them the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And after the attempt on Major Schneider in April 29th, of 1986, the OVRP assassinated a police undercover agent, Alejandro González Malavé, whom they had taken credit for his assassination. This was the last act of terrorism they carried out in Puerto Rico. And the Macheteros held a rally now just this past August 30th to celebrate the first year of their imprisonments, but they were only able to muster up 3,000 marchers in San Juan. And in Hartford, Connecticut, they also had a march, and they brought people in from Philadelphia, New York City, Boston, from all over, and they were only able to muster up 1,000. So you're not really having the Puerto Rican people support these radicals and terrorists.
How many people terrorists do they actually think there are in the groups? I mean, the Macheteros themselves, how many won't they be?
Okay, these are very small radical groups. They're mostly frustrated people with anti-American sentiments. And from the arrests of the Machetero group, you had 16 people that are under indictment. Now you have two of them who have turned state's evidence. You have Carlos Rodriguez, who is the first one to turn state's evidence against them. And he had been previously arrested for heroin trafficking. And cocaine and marijuana was also occupied at his apartment. So there's also this drug link between the Puerto Rican terrorists and the Cuban government, which, as you know, has also been denounced in Senate subcommittee hearings for their involvement in drug trafficking, which seems to be a way also of financing these groups. As you know, the Wells Fargo robbery, which was carried out on September 12, 1983, the $7.2 million was put into a Winnebago mobile home, and the perpetrator of the act, Victor Herrera, who was a machetero who got a job employed at the Wells Fargo. This is how he infiltrated this group. And what he did was that he got the drop on his boss and another person, then injected them, and they fled with the loot. They went across the Mexican border, and in Mexico City, they gave $5 million of this money to the Cuban government through the intelligence officer of the America's Department of the Cuban Communist Party in Mexico City.
Just handed the cash over?
Yes, yes. Now, this was really a silly thing to do, because the Montoneros had previously handed over large sums of cash to the Cuban government, which the Cuban government kept, and they later had a falling out over this. And Tati Allende, the daughter of Salvador Allende in Chile, in 1976 had collected over $1 million to help the overthrow of the Pinochet regime. And Castro again kept the money, and Torres said, well, look, we needed the money to fight fascism in Angola. So when she saw that he had betrayed her like that, she committed suicide in October 1977. So again, there was a falling out between the Machetero group, because you had one part of the group, which was headed by Filiberto Ojeda, who has been a Cuban intelligence agent since 1961, and he wanted to give the whole $7.2 million to the Cuban government. You had another radical faction, which was headed by the radical attorney, Jorge Farinacci. And they were at odds about what to do with the money. So what they eventually do is they gave that much to Cuba. It is also believed that about $1 million went to the El Salvador guerrillas and the Nicaraguan regime, and that the Macheteros took part of the other money to Puerto Rico. Now, there was a rift over that, over the money, and it actually did cause the Macheteros to be split into two factions, headed by both, one was headed by Farinacci, the other one headed by Filiberto Ojeda, and this is really the downfall of the group. This is what exacerbated the problem. Now, the group, since 1984, was already being investigated by the FBI. Now, they had managed to put microphones in the homes of these Machetero suspects, in their vehicles, and in public phones across the street from where they lived. And you had some cases where, for example, one of them would be talking on the phone to another terrorist, and he'd say, "Hey, well, I'll call you back in 5 minutes from a safe phone." And he'd run out and use the public phone, which was being tapped by the FBI. So you have thousands and thousands of hours of that have been recorded by the FBI and are being transcribed from Spanish into English, which is why the trial is taking so long to proceed. But the trial will come out probably at about the middle of 1987.
Can you talk a little bit about the terrorist attack you said on the airplanes, the Air Force you were talking about?
Right. Now, that attack was carried out in early 1981. Again, Filiberto Ojeda was the one that directed the attack on 9 planes of the Puerto Rico National Air Guard. And what they did was they placed pipe bombs with timing mechanisms into the jet engines of these planes. And they began to explode simultaneously, and then the ammunition that was on these planes also began to explode. The planes were not very well guarded, and what these guys did was they came in off the beach, they cut through the chain link fence, they were able to carry this out, and then left again, and they left on the ground a machete, which was the symbol of their name, Macheteros, which means machete wielders. And again, these type of actions began to cause further splits between these groups, because Ojeda, who was more experienced, having been with the Cuban Intelligence Service for over 20 years, he wanted to take out these type of military type terrorist attacks, but he would be laid from anywhere from 9 months to a year in planning them out and carrying them out. Now, you had the other faction in the group, which is led by Farinacci, and these guys wanted to be bombing post offices and the likes every week. You know, they wanted to continuously be fomenting this type of revolution. And Ojeda kept telling them, "Look, this is going to trip us up. The law of averages is against us, and it's going to lead us to fail," which eventually it did.
Maybe just in the last few minutes, any personal observations?
Our magazine, which is being published in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and distributed in Miami in the New York area, La Cronica, we were previously publishing a newspaper tabloid, and we have been known for investigative reporting as far as these terrorist activities linked to the Cuban government in Puerto Rico. Another subject I wanted to mention, talking about the Macheteros, was that in their hideout after they were arrested, the authorities found a computer printout with all the names of all the policemen of Puerto Rico, their badge numbers and social security numbers. Now, this is all sealed in waiting for the trial to start, and the authorities don't even want to acknowledge this. And the people we have interviewed trying to get them to either admit this or to deny it, or just saying no comment. But we know for a fact that they did have it. And just recently, there was a pro-Castro Cuban in Puerto Rico who has just disappeared. His name is Orlando Canales, and he disappeared on July 24th. And he was a computer analyst who worked on the police headquarters computers. Now, it has been estimated that he's fled to Cuba. Again, this is speculation because he has not been found. Him and his wife are members of the Antonio Maceo Brigade that traveled to Cuba, as are a handful of other Cubans who reside in Puerto Rico who are members of the Antonio Maceo Brigade, and they are the link also between the Cuban government and the subversives in Puerto Rico.
Thanks very much.